Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on
it. Welcome to the show. Hope everyone had a productive weekend. If you're a father, hope you had a good Father's Day. If you want to spend time with your dad, hope that happened as well. I have a father who is across the pond and in a different continent, so it didn't happen for me. But hopefully, you guys are able to enjoy a day with your dads, or if you're a dad, a day with your family. It was an interesting weekend, and we can always say that about the Astros for the most part. They were on a national telecast and got their brains bashed in. So there was a lot of commentary from outside voices about the Astros. We'll get into some of that. They do take two out of three from the Tigers. You have Justin Verlander scratch. You have Ronel Blanco going seven strong yesterday. And by strong, I mean no hit baseball. And then, of course, the bullpen comes in. They don't screw it up entirely, but they did. The shutout went away. The no hitter went away. But the Astros do take the final game of the series against Detroit. All that, you win two out of three, and because the Rangers are awful, you drop another game behind the Mariners, who are now a full nine games ahead of the Houston Astros. And the wild card thing is they're about, six and a half behind the final wild card spot. So it was productive in the sense that you didn't lose the series, but you didn't gain the ground, and you lose a starting pitcher. What's that mean when you hear neck discomfort? I immediately think of Christian Javier because it all started with neck discomfort. Now, maybe the diagnosis for Justin Verlander is just old. He's a 40-year-old pitcher. So maybe it's just the aches and pains of a guy of his age and all the innings he's thrown. And maybe it'll just be the one start. There's a chance he starts this week and maybe he just misses the one. It was a bad one. Spencer Arrigetti's like, hey, I was doing great. Then you push me up a day and I get destroyed. The Tigers had their way with him. It was a bad outing, and it was unfortunate because he had been pitching pretty well, and it could have been a really strong weekend for the Astros when you think about what Hunter Brown is doing. As I continue to joke about, look who discovered a pitch that everyone in baseball knows you can throw. As soon as he figures out that the sinker is part of his repertoire, he becomes a guy who shut down. He was really good on Friday. Our Getty start was not good on Saturday. And Blanco, my guy, seven no-hit innings of baseball. And he's certainly a bright spot, should be an all-star if this continues. And he won't be the only Astro. He might be the only Astro pitcher, now that I think about it. He probably will be, but he would be a great representative, and it'd be a great story to tell if he's the guy that is a representative from that pitching staff as far as the Astros are concerned. So what do we think, Sean? It's two out of three. Did the Breyu news hit when we were still on the air or after we were done?
It was after we were done.
After we were done. So Jose Breyu released. We'll hear from Dubon about it. I do have to laugh at Dana Brown going, hey, just to let you know, I wasn't here for this. But I was spearheading the push to get him out of here, though. Just know I was at the forefront of making sure he's released. And it's rough. I mean, we're all going to make jokes, and like everyone's, I don't know if thrill's the right word, maybe a sigh of relief that they don't have to look at Abreu in the lineup anymore. But the guy's a proud pro, former MVP, and he only came here to help the team. He wanted to win. He saw a successful team that he was joining in and just hoped he could help. And he did anything but. His tenure ends poorly. It ends, what, as he termed it, embarrassingly. And that's, and it's just a bad way to end. And you imagine he, I don't know if anyone's going to pick him up. I know some people are suggesting maybe someone will look at him because he'll be out on the street. I don't know who's going to look at what he's done here this season and think he can help us. But now that he's not our problem anymore, Sean, I wish him all the best. And you know what? To be fair, I wish him the best when he was here, just not on the active roster day to day. But now that he's, now that it's not a concern for us anymore, as far as affecting the lineup, hope Jose Abreu finds a way to turn it around so his career doesn't end the way it looks like it is going to end, with a DFA, with the release, just an outright release.
Yeah, you want him to have some honor before the end of his career. You know,
yeah.
Go out, not on top, but just go out a reasonably okay baseball player.
Yeah, we watch a show, and I'm not going to do the whole spoiler thing because this isn't like one of those obscure shows that people calling about. I would probably give it a full week before I would actually do House of the Dragon spoilers, just to be fair to people. But a lot of that show is about having a clean death sometimes. You don't want to go out screaming.
Yeah, or like Shogun.
Or you want to go out with the Warriors' death. You want to go out honorably. And honorably would be for him to be on a roster to close out his career, not someone who gets released. And he making the choice to retire, as opposed to what it looks like now where the decision has been made for him.
Yeah, the signing did not work out, although he was good.
Again, I know, in the Twins series,
he was
good. I remember, yes.
Back seven straight ALCSs, Brian. Doesn't matter, Brian. But the signing didn't work out, but it wasn't because he just came in and just like was obviously out of shape or obviously wasn't working hard. Like he was trying. You have to handle that. He was giving his best effort, but it seems like just all of a sudden, once he got here, the game passed him by.
Yeah. As much as we get to criticize the front office for the decision, and mostly it was the length of the contract, and there is some talk that they were trying to outbid someone else, and I would say, you know what, get outbid then. But, you know, you go out and try to go get yourself a bat in the lineup that's just going to propel you further after winning a title. It's just, you know, things – in poorly sometimes for players, and some deals don't work out. And I think that would be acceptable if it wasn't incomplete. It's contrary to everything the Astros we know about them as far as them being successful. It's not something, it's in contrast to what we think about them. And it played out the way you would think. You go against what you do. You go against what's successful and you get burned. And that's what happened. So we'll hear from Mauricio Dubon about his release. In fact, Ken Rosenthal, who was part of the national broadcast on Saturday, discussed the Abreu release and also the Astros' plan going forward. Dubon is part of those plans, according to Ken Rosenthal and also John Singleton, who will get the bulk of the games at first base, at least in the immediate future. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about a man who kept his promise. Kyrie kept his promise, Sean. He said there'd be a Game 5, and there is a Game 5. The fallout from Game 3 led to a big performance by the Mavericks, so we'll discuss that as well. We do have a finals game to discuss. Does it go beyond that? Who knows? It's been a week. It's weird, the fact that the Stanley Cup playoffs, Stanley Cup finals, are mirroring the NBA finals. Including the fact that the teams up 3-1 star players grew up together and rode a school bus together. If you don't know that story, Matthew Tkachuk, one of the stars for the Panthers, and Jason Tatum went to high school together, at least early on. And there's a picture of them riding the school bus, and they're both up 3-1. They both got blown out in game fours on the road, and now they have a chance in their next game to win their first title. I want one of those things to happen. The other one, I would like a historic collapse. Take a guess which one I'm rooting for in each series. I don't even know if it'll happen. It's very, very, very unlikely. I just need nervous Boston fan. Get me to at least a game six, and then they're really worried about a potential game seven at home where all the pressure's on them.
I was going to say, Dallas wins tonight. That's when I'll actually entertain.
Yes, me too.
The chances, because then it's home game, game six. Anything can happen, game seven.
Yeah.
But the hardest part is this one.
Yes.
This game right here. So I don't know. I actually no. I seriously doubt we'll see history. In this series, but
yeah, I'm with you. But give me a game six, and then we can have a real conversation. This is much in the along the lines of have the Astros make it to 500. Then we can actually have a conversation about what their playoff hopes are. Get to 500, we'll have a conversation. Get to a game six, and then I'll seriously entertain an epic collapse. Until that point, it's just fun to see if there's any doubt creeping in with Celtics fans. Probably not. They feel pretty good at home, but getting blown out like they were in game four makes you a little nervous because you never know. Have they figured us out? Have the Mavericks found something? That's always part of the equation until tip-off for game five. And we've had a couple days since, so we will see what happens as the Celtics try to win that title and see if the Mavericks can stave off elimination for one more game. We got some Texan stuff to get to as well. Tank Dell was at a camp over the weekend. He spoke a little bit about the expectations for his team. Tytus Howard's tweeting again. Nothing too inflammatory. He's just reinforcing a message. And we will also hear from Chris Sims, because he now has taken issue a little bit with all the talking by CJ Stroud. So we'll get to that and plenty more. Sean, before we wrapped it up on Friday, discussed or brought up some college football games that has some meaning. It's an evergreen topic, but we might get to that as well. And I say might because who knows? We get a call from fake Ryan, and that might throw us off the rails pretty quickly. So it's all up for you guys, really. You can call in 713-780-3776. We'll get to plenty, including Aggie fans. What are you doing? And I'm not talking about the George Strait thing. I'm talking about the College World Series thing. Guys, you got to relax. So plenty of topics and stories to get to. We'll start to get to them when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Well, what they'll do at first base is pretty simple. They're going to platoon John Singleton and Mauricio Dubon for now. The decision, Kevin, came down to his numbers. The fact that he couldn't hit this year. Batted 124 with a 361 OPS. This is a guy they signed coming off a season that was a good season, but he showed diminished power in that season. And they gave him 3 years, $58.5 million, entering his age 36 campaign. So they signed him for 36, 37, and 38. That was when they were between general managers, when James Click was gone, when Dana Brown was not yet there, owner Jim Crane was making the decisions. Obviously a move that left the Astros in a really bad place, and they felt they had no choice but to let Abreu go.
So that was Ken Rosenthal over the weekend on Fox talking about the decision, a decision we all were waiting on, felt like it was inevitable, although the Astros tried to put it off as long as they could. But at some point, a decision had to be made for the betterment of the team and also for, let's be honest, Jose Abreu. He will be well paid to depart and appreciate the efforts, Jose. Just didn't work out. I don't think there's any bad blood from anyone, really. As I said, I think most of the issues were people directing it at the front office for continuing to run him out there. It's interesting when we talk about who do we, because people like to blame people, and I think Espada, as this kept going on, people stopped pointing the finger at Espada and started pointing it at the guys above him for this continuation of something that we knew was never going to work out. And Dana Brown was like, you can point it above a spot, but don't point it at me. I'm not the guy you should be pointing at, because as you heard Ken Rosenthal talk about, and Dana Brown pointed out during the press conference to announce the move, wasn't around. This was a Crane decision, at least according to Rosenthal. We'll see actually, we probably will never really find out how much Jeff Bagwell had to do with it. But this one is going to fall on Jim Crane because of the absence of a general manager. And it's just a bad move. And you hope it's one they've learned from, and they realize, like Dana Brown said, he doesn't like to sign old players. And maybe if with him around, they will stop doing that. And certainly not give big money to older players who are declining, and in a Braves case, we're on the verge of falling off a cliff. Eric wants to ask a question about Saturday starter Spencer Arrighetti. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what happened on Saturday with Spencer Arrighetti? He looked like he was nervous throwing up mom's spaghetti.
Is that all? The Eminem reference is all? Do you have anything else for us before I get into that?
Yeah, what about the rumblings around earlier this morning that the Astros and Trevor Bauer are speaking? Is that correct?
I don't know if they're speaking. We know that people who really devote a lot of their time to the Astros on social media, they make it their whole social media personality, have said that he did a bullpen session for them, and people saw it. Astro people saw it. I don't know the validity of how serious anything involving Trevor Bauer is. We know the Astros are in for starting pitching. They've talked about that. The reports are out that they are looking for at least one, maybe two starting pitcher. And maybe they knew that the Verlander thing was around the corner, so they need to fortify. I can't speak to that. I don't know. I just know what the rumors are, just like you. And we've had this discussion before, Eric, last week, and the stuff still remains. If it happens, then we can have an actual conversation about what it means and why they did it. But right now, have you seen anyone who, you know, makes their living reporting on the Astros report that they're talking to Trevor Bauer?
No, I haven't.
No. So this is where we are. It's rumors, and certain Astro accounts have said it's happening or could potentially be happening, but no accredited service has said it. So we'll leave it at that. As far as your Spencer Arrighetti question, maybe you can just put it on. He wasn't expecting to start. It's a guy who's still finding himself despite some better performances. He's talked about feeling better and better about getting into a rhythm as far as a starting pitcher on the major league level. Maybe this is something that threw him out of his rhythm. You hope that's just what it is. An inning and a third, gave up seven runs, was not good. And you just hope it's a blip brought on by not being prepared for that moment. Probably a guy who needs a routine, and this is something that put him out of his routine. So I wouldn't be too concerned. It's just a bad start by a young pitcher. Eric, anything else? Do you have anything about a news anchor you want to ask, or are you strictly Astros today?
No, I think that was it. I think you answered the questions fully, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate you, Eric, a consistent caller to the show. If you want to call in, 713-780-3776. It's always always weird to in a conversation with Eric. It's like, we're just gonna do a baseball thing only. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Wow. Look at that. A departure. It's usually something where I have to dance around.
I mean, every phone call normally has some other ulterior motive in it.
From everyone, actually.
Yeah.
Someone wants to get off a slogan that I hate. Someone wants to talk about
an Apple TV Plus show.
Yeah. An actress from days gone by. But this one was a straight sports call. We've had them before. It's unique. Anyone else just want to talk about sports? You can do that here. well, apparently not. Not if Sean has his way.
throw something in there.
Yeah, he's got three more hours after this to just talk about sports.
Yeah.
For this, bring the nonsense. So you can do that too, by the way, if you so choose. But it was interesting just to talk baseball with Eric, particularly for this baseball guy. I've become a baseball guy, apparently. So I don't think much of what happened to Arrighetti, like I said. Just young pitcher, not particularly ready for that outing because of the Verlander being scratched, and you got a bad result. Justin Verlander talked about being scratched from a start over the weekend, and he's happy with what the trainers are saying, the prognosis for him. You know, it's not great. He mentioned not great to miss a start, but he says day-to-day is a good thing. The fact it's good enough that it's okay. We don't have to put you on IL. That's fine with him. the IL is something he did not want to hear. And he said, you have to put the trust in the trainers, trust everybody you're talking to, and I think the prognosis is pretty good. We would hope. He's been dealing with this neck discomfort for a while. The Astros use discomfort as an all-encompassing thing. Sometimes discomfort turns into time on the IL, and then time on IL turns into season-ending surgery. You just hope that's not the case with Verlander. It's straight neck discomfort, and then he'll be back, and maybe he will be back later this week. He cut a bullpen session short on Wednesday because his neck began to bother him, and just have to hope that that's all it is. We heard from Ken Rosenthal on the release of Abreu. Let's hear from one of his teammates. Mauricio Dubon was asked about it. We joke about it, him being around, being a bad vibes guy, but that's just us joking around. What does Dubon feel about Abreu's release? Here's Mauricio Dubon on it.
It's devastating. I mean, he's a good clubhouse guy. You know, obviously he seems quiet around you guys, but he's very vocal to the teammates about, you know, giving advice to the young guys, you know, how he views the game. I mean, he's a, you know, MVP and everything. I mean, he has a lot to, you know, give to the young guys, and just, you know, like I said before, just watching him go, it's a gut punch for. Sucks, man. He's a big part of the clubhouse, and just watching him go, it's not good, man. We're a family here. That's the thing. It's a gut punch for the vibe in the clubhouse, and just watching him go, it's not good.
You heard him, Sean. The vibes. He mentioned the word we like to use. It's a gut punch for the vibes.
We talked about how it's the vibes of me on the couch watching Jose Abreu suffers.
That's true. You're having a good time, or a medium time. It is the Astros, and they're below 500. But then you realize, oh, Abreu's coming up.
Yeah. Runners on first and third to two outs. And
I might as well go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
This ain't going to end
well.
Why
couldn't it have been Caratini?
Anyone but Abreu. But the human aspect of it is he's probably a guy people like. As I said, nothing about this felt like this is a bad guy. We can't wait to get him out of here. It was just simply he's not performing. And he had become the example of what has gone wrong in the last maybe 8 months or so with the Astros. He's not hitting. It's questions about leadership, and it was the guy who represented that void in leadership. He was the big move made when there was a void as far as from the executive side of things, and people latched onto it. It's tough to watch a guy hit under 100 for a big part of the year, get sent away, and then come back and still not be very good. So that is over. The vibes are not great, but the vibes will recover, right? I mean, they won't be overwhelmed by the Jose Abreu absence. They'll get over it, I assume. Can't imagine it'll be a thing that hangs over the clubhouse for months.
Well, what's going to happen? They're going to lose games?
Yeah, exactly.
What are we talking
about?
Oh,
no. Look how bad they feel. What's the difference in performance? What? And they played.
Oh, no. Also, how much worse would they have to feel for it to negate the upgrade that you're getting with whoever plays first base?
Like, hey, Dubon, you know what Abreu being gone means? More regular bats for you. You know what that means? That means a better product, and you get to play more.
Yeah,
I'm sure the vibes will return.
There's like a 600-point difference between their OPS. Like, I'm sure whatever vibes are missing is probably worth 600 points of OPS. I'm just going to guess. I don't know. Maybe the analytics department, if the Astros still have one, will disagree with that, but I don't
know. You know, Dubon, after you're rounding first, after hitting a line drive through the hole between second and third, you can dry your eyes from all the tears from the bad vibes as you're talking to the first baseman because you're on base again. Everyone will be fine, right? But I understand they knew that guy. I'm sure he was a good guy, and we wouldn't think any differently. We've never heard anything bad about what he is as a person, just what he is as a player. When we come back, we'll hear from. I don't know if he's a bad guy. I would say, a less than stellar career at the University of Texas. I would say that. certainly hyped, certainly didn't live up to it, but he's made his way into a career in media, and Chris Sims has something to say about the quarterback in this town and all the talking he's doing. We'll hear from Chris Sims when we come back. But first, I want to talk about MyBookie. If you bet on Chris Sims a lot in college, you're probably pretty disappointed and hoping for Major Applewhite to come in and save you. Oh, it is Aqueduct Plumbing. How do I change from Chris Sims to Aqueduct? Hey, Chris, nah, I can't do it. Just gotta talk about leaks.
Clogged the toilet.
No, see? I was trying to avoid something like that, and you provided that anyway. Thanks to our intrepid producer, Sean Mapes. But if you have a leak in your pipes, you know who can help you? Aqueduct Plumbing. You go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. They are the best at repipes. And repipes can be a big job, but they do more than just repipes. Maybe you just have a simple leak at the tap and you need that fixed. Not everyone is adept at fixing plumbing issues. That's why you have a service like Aqueduct Plumbing Company. They have the best free price quotes in town. So if you're not sure what the issue is, they'll send someone out and check on you. But if you just want to call them, it's 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. You get experienced contractors who are local. They're a local company servicing the local area. And as I said, not just about repiping, although they're great at that, because that dirty, disgusting water can not only cause damage in your walls, but no one wants dirty water coming out of their tap. That's the stuff you use to cook. That's the stuff you use to, you know, bathe yourselves. You want that to be clean. Aqueduct Plumbing Company will take care of you there. If you need a water filter or drain cleaning, or you need need gas piping, they do all that and more. I'm a guy who's going to have to replace a water heater at some point. Aqueduct Plumbing Company is a business that can help you do that as well. Once again, 281-488-6238 to call them, or aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We got a tweet. Less Abreu talk, more Dragon. I'm not going to finish that sentence, but more Dragon talk. I told you, we're not going to talk about the show on air, House of the Dragon, less than 24 hours after it aired. That's not fair to people. It happened on a Sunday night. People were probably busy. I'm sure a lot of people watch, but got to be fair. We can have those conversations off the air because both of us watched it. But hey, some decorum, please. Let people get a chance to watch the show. Somebody who has little to no decorum, at least when it comes to ranking quarterbacks or just talking about them, is Chris Sims. Credit to him for finding a way from going from, let's say, I wouldn't call him a draft bust because he wasn't drafted that high, but he did nothing in the NFL, and he was less than advertised on the college level. Hey, when you got a legend on your tail the entire time you're there, it's a little rough. But hey, make a career for yourself any way you can, and he's done that. And it allows him to talk about quarterbacks, particularly when the quarterbacks talk themselves. So CJ Stroud's been on a world tour. We know this. Podcast after podcast after podcast, comment after comment after comment. His most recent comments were about quarterbacks. Specifically, he ranked Aaron Rodgers and how he thought maybe Matthew Stafford would win more Super Bowls in Green Bay if he had the talent that Aaron Rodgers had surrounding him. Well, I think it's actually not this Chris Sims stuff, but what CJ is doing is unique. You don't hear quarterbacks generally ranking other quarterbacks. They generally try to stay away from that stuff. Quarterbacks don't really bring attention onto themselves. I think it's maybe a bit of a code thing. We don't break the code of the quarterbacks. You think about what Netflix had to pivot to. They had to pivot from quarterback to the receiver reality show because quarterbacks are like, wait a minute. We don't want that. We don't want you diving in deep with in what we do. Every quarterback turned it down after the first season. As much as people got to know, like, the Mariotas and the Kirk Cousins, all the star quarterbacks were like, you know what, not for me. I don't want it. You're not getting me out there. So they had to pivot to a position who, like, welcomes the attention. The receivers are like, about time. Should have asked us for the first season. We would have been there. So that's what Netflix is going to do. Quarterbacks just don't do this. Can you remember, Sean, a quarterback, young or old? You know, Aaron Rodgers has a thing on Pat McAfee, but I don't know a lot of that comes out of that is about other quarterbacks. It's about all the stuff that Aaron Rodgers likes to get off to tell you he's more than a football player. Do you remember quarterbacks talking this much just in general?
No. I think part of it's the rise of podcasting.
It's true.
Because there used to be a time, kids out there, where in the offseason, you just never heard from any of your players unless That's they true. Got arrested or were at minicamp. Like, you just never heard from them. So there's a little bit of that where everyone's doing a podcast now. So if they say one thing, but there's not a guy or there's not like a specific thing I can point to where a quarterback really said anything of note about another active quarterback other than, man, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, Mahomes.
Yeah. Oh,
he does stuff that's just not fair. All right.
Yeah, like when they do the top 100 lists and if they get the players and rank the other players, it's mostly he's him. He does things, like you said, no one else can do. I love how he throws the football, blah, 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 all the stuff. You do the compliment. You rarely get the guys ranking quarterbacks and then telling you, hey, why this guy maybe not specifically isn't as good as what you think, but I prefer this guy over this guy. You don't see a lot of comps like
even,
that.
Even just going like who's better, this guy or this guy? They never answer.
They would never answer that question. They would dance around it and give both guys compliments. Well, CJ, I mean, he wasn't very insulting of anyone. It's just it would probably not be something other quarterbacks would do. And it isn't because we don't see it. But here's Chris Sims, a former quarterback, discussing what a current quarterback is doing in the offseason and taking it to task.
He's going to piss a lot of people off. He's got to watch out. Forget Aaron Rodgers. Other quarterbacks, other players are going to look at it and go, wait, that's BS. They're not going to like that. This is uncharted territory. Second-year quarterback, awesome first year, arguably the best rookie year in the history of football. But he's ranking quarterbacks now. He's telling quarterbacks he's going to play against and he's in the league with right now where they are in the pantheons of greats, right? You know, that's you're doing a high wire act right there. And I would say it's not a good thing, at least not yet. I'd be very careful there.
We all know what will happen. If this season goes poorly, there will be people who will be pulling receipts. If they're not already bookmarked, I'm sure, look, Twitter can't even see your likes anymore. So I'm sure if you've liked a tweet that highlighted CJ talking simply so you can grab it for later, you're probably not alone. It's probably not happening in this town, but across the country, I'm sure it's happening. And they're just waiting. They're waiting for a 1-3 start. They're waiting for a 3-pick game. And we know the knives will come out for CJ. But hell, you keep winning, you keep performing, what can they do? You can keep talking. It's just something that I have to play out. And the fact that the Texans are a team people are looking at to be a pretty good team and maybe a contender, will that play a part in how this season plays out? I think it's more about the schedule. I don't think it'll be about extra motivation. I just think the schedule will be tougher. Tank Dell was at a camp over the weekend. We'll hear from him when we come back. We're late for a break. He discussed the target on the Texans' back, and really that they're just going to be ready for it. So we will hear from Tank Dell. Some other things I want to get to in the show. We talked around the NBA Finals and kind of joking, but that game, I don't know. I don't want to get into cementing legacies, but at least it's tonight after a couple of days off. So we'll get into that as well. And also, we got to talk about the Aggies. And it's not all the Aggies. It's a story that probably – the story that these particular Aggie fans were reacting to probably belongs on Dateline. If when I tell you about it, you can agree or disagree. But it's a crazy story. And the Aggies, because I guess it's winning time, the fans thought to themselves, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go taunt one of the players in this story in their own dugout. So we'll get to that probably in the second hour of the show. We are way late, so we'll get back on time here. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
It starts early, and for you guys, you want to hit the ground running. What's the vibe around the team? Because I know there's a lot of excitement. People are talking about the Texans now and talking about them in a good way.
Yeah, like I said, we ready. You know, we all excited. You know, we have a target on our back. We got a lot of things that we want to accomplish, you know, Super Bowl, playoffs, things like that. So we ready to go work.
Tank Dell over the weekend. He was out of camp. And that's, I assume, the thought process of all the Texans. That they are a team who can compete for a Super Bowl, and that'll bear out over the course of the season. We'll see. My hesitancy comes from, you know, just barely making the playoffs, and they took advantage of it. They beat Gardner Minshew in that final game, and then they beat up on Joe Flacco. Not exactly murderer's row, but they took advantage of it, and then we saw a big gap between them and Baltimore. Maybe that gap has been lessened because of their acquisitions and Baltimore losing some guys off their staff. They do still have the MVP, but the Texans weren't healthy, at least wide receiver wise, when you compare them to what they are now versus what they were in that game. No Diggs, no Dell. And they'll have both those guys going forward as long as health remains good. So the Texans are a team that at least CJ talks. Tank has been less inflammatory, but sure, that's a team that's ready to go. And we'll see once training camp rolls around what they look like going into the season. I mentioned the NBA Finals before we went to break, and mostly because I don't feel like it's the finals. And this has been, it's been a slow drain as far as presentation is concerned. But if you look at the finals, other than them changing the score bug at the bottom of the screen to tell you, hey, this is a different game, this means more. Not like the SEC, but it just, the game is more important. What about the finals suggest, at least on the floor, that it's a finals game? They've long talked about how the giant Larry O'Brien trophy makes guys slip. I don't remember that being a thing, but they've attributed that they've used that as a reason why they don't do it anymore. But you know, they've gone through the process of superimposing the YouTube TV logo on the floor. But can you give me at least like a finals insignia somewhere? Like, is there anything other than presented by YouTube TV on the baseline that says this is the NBA Finals? Can you, when you look at the court, like if you just happen to, well, it's the middle of June, so you kind of can figure out it's the finals if you're a sports fan. But if you're flipping it on, you're like, oh, Mavericks, Celtics, the finals. But there's nothing about the presentation that tells me it's a special event. I talked about it on the morning show. The Super Bowl, bad, good, whatever, bad matchup, blowout, they do a great job of presentation. They make you feel like it's a big event. I don't think ESPN, ABC have done a good job, whether it be the commercials. We talked about the halftime show, and it's not even a show anymore. It's just a pit stop for the commercials. What about it would tell you, other than Mike Breen being there for all seven games, if it gets to seven, that it's the finals? I can't think of anything.
No, the patches on the jersey. That's true. On the back.
It's not even like they don't even give us like the Larry O'Brien on the front of the jersey anymore. And they've done this before, particularly if you've won a championship. They do this, I think, for all the jerseys now. If your team who won a title, they put like a gold thing back there on the number of titles you've won. And yeah, they put the finals patch. But even that finals patch sucks. Put a Larry O'Brien on the front. Why is it on the back above the name?
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, it's weird that it seems like a lot of sports have kind of done this, where they are just kind of like, they just strip away at the like presentation of the final event of their sport, or even like the Super Bowl, they don't do the logos anymore. It's like a regulated logo, basically.
And because of that thing the Patriots did years ago when they all ran out as a team, surprising everyone before they play the Rams. Doesn't everyone just run out as a team now? They don't do individual player introductions at Super Bowl anymore.
Do they show it anymore?
I think they go, your AFC champion, Kansas City Chiefs, and they all run out at the same time. When it used to be, they would pick offense or defense, and they have individual player introductions.
Yeah, they'd go, here's so-and-so, here's so-and-so.
Because of the dumb Patriots. No, okay, it's better to run as a team. No, it's not. Why would you do player introductions at regular season games but not at the Super Bowl?
That way we can get Ray Lewis to do the little shimmy.
Or something. Give me something. Look, and that's me. I'm getting at the Super Bowl, but they do a great job for the most part in presentation.
I mean, the finals, they used to show the player, like, they used to have, like, a giant inflatable Larry O'Brien trophy that they would have to stand next to for some reason.
For whatever reason, yeah.
Some of the stuff is, like, silly, but it does, like, it is about making it feel special. And, I don't know, the last, like, finals that you're like, oh, my God. I guess the Warriors-Celtics one was a good finals, but it wasn't, like, I don't know if there was maybe it is just Steph Curry and LeBron were just in finals for 10 straight years.
That's true.
That now when any finals without them, you're like, all right. Because I'm thinking about, like, last year's was also like, all right, this is just the finals.
It was
again.
A Nuggets versus an 8 seed. So, yeah, there's something to the lack of star power, I guess. But, no, like I said, no matter who's playing in the Super Bowl, they are going to go all out, no matter the network, to make sure you know how big of a deal it is. The NFL makes that part of the event. The NBA partnering with ESPN and ABC, it's like, okay, get our commercials in. Let's get this game out of here, and then we have our post game, and that's it. And NBA TV, because they have more wiggle room, will have the players after the game, the winning players on set talking to them and stuff in their uniforms. Hey, let them get a shower. I don't know. But they're on set talking to the guys. And so I guess if you're looking for good finals coverage, you go over to NBA TV after the game because that's where a lot of it comes from. And that's where we heard Charles Barkley announce that he's going to retire. Charles Barkley says after the 24-25 season, he is going to retire from broadcasting. I appreciate that announcement more than Angel Hernandez announcing he's going to retire. There's some people I want to hear that from, like knowing Charles Barkley is going to have one last dance because he said he's not leaving TNT. He's saying, after this, I'm out. I don't know if I believe him, but that's what he's saying.
Yeah. I don't believe
him. Whatever. Let's see how big the check is, Charles, the next time someone wants to cut you a check.
It's also not like being an athlete to where it's like, okay, if he's out for like 2 years, it's not happening. Cough, cough, J.J. Watt. But for him, it's like, I don't know, he can just 10 years from now, he can still do it. Like,
yeah,
he can
still
talk into a microphone.
People are going to want to hear from Charles Barkley. He might retire from the day-to-day stuff, but you don't think Charles Barkley is going to show up at particular events and go, hey, we got Charles Barkley here.
Oh, no, his analysis won't be as informed as it is right now. He won't be watching every game like he does right now.
How's he going to
watch these games?
How's he going to come up with another nickname like Street Clothes after 2 years off?
I know. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, I think the minute he decides he wants to and the check is big enough, we're probably going to see Charles Barkley. But at least right now, the announcement is he will call his final season of basketball call. He does the inside the NBA. He'll be broadcasting for the final time next year on TNT because he doesn't want to leave his TNT family and he doesn't want to go work for someplace else. Charles is probably going to have a podcast at some point or be making appearances weekly with someone. I don't know if it'll be...
He'll be on First Take. Like, at the very least, he'll have a weekly hit on First
Take. Arguing with Stephen A., you think?
Yeah, come on. At the very least.
Yeah, the bag's going to be really big.
If not, he'll just be like... The Amazon show will just buy the TNT show. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of this is...
I think he'll work less, but he's going to get a big check from someone to work less than he did with TNT. I don't know who it'll be, but someone's going to have Charles Barkley around because they're going to know what it means to have him on their broadcast. Maybe he replaces Jay Williams on First Take. Who knows?
Whoa.
I'm just looking at Jay Williams right now. It's not personal. he's just on my TV right now.
Right now, talking about which team wins tonight.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's an actual basketball conversation.
Yeah, taking a break from LeBron hiring J.J. Redick. Wow.
LeBron's in the room. Sending over the contract to J.J. and negotiating might as well be the case. So as far as the game tonight, since they're having an actual conversation, I'm going to say the Mavs win, mostly for the narrative. I need a game six. I need more days of Boston doubt. But I think the Mavericks have a real shot. Look, I mean, we can talk we can talk about momentum. It's one game, and now you've had multiple days off. You had to go to Boston now, but you've seen multiple Boston players. It wasn't the star players, but, like, you know, the guys who fill in sometimes, talking about, like, Pritchard and who's the designated shooter? Number
Hauser.
30, Sam Hauser. They were discussing, you know what, it'd be nice to win a game five.
But designated shooter.
That's what he is. What else is he then?
That's coded language.
No, it isn't. He is a designated shooter.
He's a stopper. He was locking up Kyrie.
Okay.
Before game four.
Yeah.
Games one and two.
I don't think it's coded language to say Sam Hauser is a designated shooter. That's what he's there for.
To be like Pritchard and Hauser, too.
Well, they were the ones who were talking and leading to my point. They were the ones saying, hey, you know what? It'd be nice to win game five, but we got other opportunities. I mean, it's not the greatest attitude to take into a game five.
No. Did they not get media trained at all?
Xavier Tillman, he was another guy, not about winning game five, but, you know, Kristaps, you know, he's practicing, but he looks uncomfortable, so on and so forth. And, you know, Woj threw it out there before game four. He was going to be available to play, knowing he wasn't. Now, the Celtics gave him that information, knowing he wasn't going to play. But he was available, I guess, in an emergency. What's the emergency? If eight guys get hurt, then Porzingis was going
to
play?
I was trying to think of, like, what could
possible emergency could have got him out there? Seeing as how he was clearly not ready
maybe
to play.
Maybe like a last second
tip-in, point one, when you can just throw it above the rim and that counts.
Or defending against the tip-in.
Maybe throw him out there as opposed to Luke Kornet or something. But
designated shooter Luke Kornet?
No, he's not a designated shooter.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. He's a designated stiff is what he is.
Whoa!
What? Why
careful,
are you so
careful with that word?
Why are you taking offense to
careful with the S word? All right,
stiff. No, if you throw in a qualifier, like if you mention a nationality, that's when you get in trouble. I remember that happened to me earlier this year. But you can call Luke Kornet a designated stiff and not
like
be
Kentuckian stiff.
Sure, whatever.
I just looked up; he's from Lexington, Kentucky.
I think it's less problematic than what I said a couple months
ago. How did Coach Cal let him go?
I don't know. Coach Cal now at Tennessee. But those two, Hauser and Pritchard, you know, game five, it's kind of a big deal. But you know what? We got other opportunities. I hope Tatum and Brown don't think that way.
I imagine they said it while shrugging.
Sure, it's not do or die for us.
Got two more after this.
We got more opportunities. Relax, guys. Maybe go out and win game five. You don't want to see a game six. The thing is, if it did get to a game seven, what Luka does on the road in closeout games, ooh. You don't want any part of that. You saw what he did to Minnesota in a game five on the road. We know what he did to Phoenix a couple years ago in a game seven on the road. You don't want to see Luka on the road in a closeout game. Get it done now, Boston. Don't allow that man and that team to get any momentum, and they'll likely close it out tonight. I like the Mavs for the story. We'll see how that plays out. 1 hour in, we got 1 hour to go. We will get into that college football story. It's more about the matchups that have high pressure surrounding them. Some of it's about coaches. Some of it's about potential national title implications. So we'll talk about that. And we got a couple other things to get to. In fact, we've got actual sports to watch. Now that Fox is done sub-licensing their Euro games to Fubo, there's an actual game on Fox Sports that I'll be able to look at in the U.S. on Sunday. A bit away, but the Copa America's on Sunday. So soccer, summer soccer begins in earnest, at least for us, starting in a couple minutes. But college football when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.